Lord, some things in this world are obvious. They are clearly seen and understood. Some things catch our attention and we understand them. We study them, we observe them, and we can say we know them. And then there are things in this world that we can't see. We can't really study them. We don't really understand them. But they are here. You are here. And your ways are here. We are learning and seeing your work. And knowing your ways are not our ways. Instead of strength, there is weakness. Instead of being very smart and clever, we are fools. And we live in faith. And we find an answer. We find peace and joy and wisdom and purpose. Bless our thoughts tonight. Thank you for this assembly. We care about those struggling and learning because they embrace the obvious and are searching for the mysterious as we are. In Jesus' name, amen. Wow, what a great singer. No, not Pastor Shibley, his daughter. I mean his daughter, the one that was here. Wow. Did she get that from which side of the family? She says it's her side. Wow, that was good, huh? That was good. She can sing. Wow, that's amazing. We're very happy that she's here. You are a blessing to us in many ways. Awesome. Turn with me to Matthew 11 and verse 25. I'm from New York, as many of you know, and I went to school there and so on, and then went to Bible school up in Maine. I found the ministry God was speaking through this church to my heart, and I was learning to realize that life is not always obvious. People live with the things that are clear in their hearts and minds that you can see and handle the obvious. In this chapter, Matthew 11, Christ makes it clear that the Jewish people should be receiving him as a nation, as the Messiah. But when he came, it wasn't obvious who he was and what was he doing, and it wasn't obvious to them. We would say it was a mystery. Being in Maine when I was in Bible college, I was also wondering what is going on. I was in Bible college, and there are things that were said and taught, and I read them in my Bible, and they caused my heart to burn. But still, it was a little beyond my reach to understand what is going on. Where am I going? What is happening? What is God saying? What is God doing? It was a little bit out of my reach. You know, I use that. You know, when you were a kid and your mom would come home and put the little delicacies up on the top of the refrigerator, the cookie jar, And it was just beyond the horizon, the top of the refrigerator. You had to climb, and then as you got bigger, couldn't do that anymore. Had to find another hiding place up in the attic. Then as you got really old, then she shot it into outer space. Okay, verse 25. At that time, Jesus answered and said, I thank thee, O Father, Lord of heaven and earth, because you've hid these things from the wise and prudent. You know, those people that are really got it together. Those people, the smart people, the people that always got A's in school, you know? There was one girl in third grade, she was always perfect. Everything was perfect. I was thinking, what's wrong with me? Man, she's going to make it. She's going to be the first president of the United States. Okay, I'm sorry. You got to pray for me right now. Okay, just calm down. Nobody leave the room. Okay, wait a minute. Okay, verse 25. I thank you, you have hid them from the wise and prudent and has revealed them unto these guys. I would love it if you felt in your heart you are one of these guys. Do you? You have revealed it unto babes. You have revealed it unto these people. How many times have we had a rap session, or we walked out of the rap sessions just like just so touched by it? Or we walked out of a service saying, I just sense that I don't even know. I feel like I'm in the center of the universe. That God has spoken to me. God has spoken to me. This 1972 fall, maybe the second day, fifth day of Bible college, I walked out of that room on the steps. I know the place. I remember it up in Bath, Maine. I felt I was this far off the ground. I felt I was right there. I felt this is it. This is amazing. Then I woke up. And I snapped out of it. And I'm living in Maine. And I'm in a dorm room and have to find a job and find transportation and get on with my life. But those details of life were somehow all eclipsed by this other thing that became clear to me in my heart. And this is what happened here with these people. Sometimes I think of it this way. Here's this huge civilization, the Jewish temple, the priesthood, the power, the clothing, the animal sacrifice, hundreds of years of history and God with them and so on. And then you have a small band of dusty little fishermen. And Jesus is there, and he's saying, oh, no, don't misunderstand this. It's not there. It's here. Those guys aren't the winners. We are the winners. We got it. Oh, no. You got it upside down. You think the whole thing is about this over here. It isn't. That's going to pass away. I am here. And if you overheard the conversation as an outsider, you just think it's ridiculous that this man, who does he think he is? What is he talking about? How ridiculous his proposition is. What is he talking about? It's ridiculous. It's like you have this, another way of looking at it is, when the first Christians were Jews, and they had animals like a lamb. Their fathers, grandfathers, great-great-grandfathers would take a lamb and slit the throat, sacrifice. There it is. Now they are a Christian, and they're over here in some little room, and they're taking a cracker and a little bit of juice, and they're saying, "This is the body, and this is the blood." And you, which is the reality? And they say, "This is the reality." And these people could say, "You got to be kidding me. This is the reality. This is real blood, real sheep, lamb, real temple." Isn't that amazing? I'm just trying to say something here. It is not always obvious, not even to you will not to us and not to anybody, what it is that is actually happening. We actually need God to show us, because we get it upside down. We miss the important thing. We say that's the important thing. Jesus says it isn't. It's passing away. This is the important thing. That's the thing. Now, I'll read the next part of it, because this is all in a context. It's verse 26. "Even so, Father, it seemed good in your sight to show it to them." Father, you showed it to them. I think we should be learning things about the second coming of Christ, and he should be showing us things. I am personally excited about the study, and like stirred up in my heart about it, because I'm seeing new things and fresh things about the second coming and the Antichrist and that whole period that is coming in the future. We are excited as we in learning about our victories in Christ and what grace means. And it's the Father's pleasure to show us the real meaning. Verse 27, "All things are delivered unto me of my Father, and no man knows the Son but the Father, neither knows any man the Father save the Son, and he to whomsoever the Son will reveal him." This is what we have seen around the world. We saw Pakistan on the screen. They have found the Father. They know the Father. They have found the Son. God the Father revealed the Son to them. They know who the Son of God is. They know who the Father is. This is around the world through church history. It is the work of grace that we've been talking about tonight and love so much. And yeah, bear witness to it. But I will get to the point. Now look at verse 28. "Come unto me," he said. "Come unto me." Come unto me. Well, what will I find when I come to you? Come unto me. Your thoughts. I'm thinking of a young man who's struggling in his addiction. I'm thinking of a young man, and it happens to all kinds of people, of course, and I'm thinking of how to get help, how to find it, how to find the focus, how to get help, how to be delivered, how to develop those skills where I am in my heart always, I'm believing that I cannot see, not everything is obvious to me, this world, not everything is clear to me. Why does one person get delivered in a minute and another one is delivered in a period of time? Why does somebody believe and somebody does not believe? Why is there evil? Why is there unbelief? What is happening? How does it work? And he is saying here that you don't know. We don't know. But it's the Father's plan and the Father's power. And he wants to reveal to us the Son of God. We could say greater grace does the same thing, like any group of people. We can be drawn to a form, but actually we're really seeking the reality. I'm actually looking for that which is not so obvious, but is God visiting people. I want to find God visiting me. I'd like God to reveal to me who he is. I want to find out who God is. This is the verse 28. Come unto me, all you that labor and are heavy laden. I understand the labor is the severe labor. There's different words for labor in the Greek language. This one is laboring to like severity, like bondage, like incredible depravity of strength, like a slave laboring arduously, exhausted. I've labored. I'm tired out. I'm wiped out. I'm exhausted. Come unto me, he said. Praise God. All you that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Beautiful. We talked this morning about the will of God, finding it, finding the will of God for our lives. I do not believe it is so difficult, but on the other hand, because of our hearts, we do struggle sometimes. I found this interesting story from Pastor Carl in his book on it, that this 22-year-old Englishman was living in England on the country estate. He enjoyed the rolling hills, the fields, the ripe harvest. He woke up when he saw that the whole harvest had been destroyed, and he opened the bedroom curtain, and he saw that, and immediately he thought, with a deep sense, God wanted him to go to Africa to reap the harvest for Christ. Kind of strange. You know, you look, you see the field is destroyed, and you, the Spirit of God speaks to you. This is not obvious, but to him, the Spirit speaks to him, I want you to go to Africa. He's thinking, I would like to find a wife. I'd like to get married. I'd like to live in England. But it says here, it had been going on in his heart for months to go to Africa and make the gospel known there, to lose something. It didn't matter to him because the desire and the thought was growing in him, and he'd been processing it in his heart, and then it clicked and he decided to do it, and immediately began preparing. In 2 years, he found himself in Central Africa. And he was a 24-year-old man at that time. He desired to find a wife and start a family. Across the Atlantic Ocean, in an American home, a young girl was growing up, Bessie Santmeyer. She was 7 years old when her mother died. She lived with her older sister. 2 years later, became a believer. At the age of 16, desired with all her heart to go to Africa. Not everyone understood her thinking. And you know how the story went. She went because God had put it in her heart and desired it. Yes, she wanted to be a wife and a mother. At the same time, she had this inner drive to go to Africa. She traveled there to Angola, very hard journey, 25 miles a day by foot. She went into this little village, and there he was, right? She looked at him. He looked at her. 2 years later, they were married. They lived 35 years together until he went to be with the Lord. And that's a beautiful little story. I think in our church, we have an amazing group of young ladies that are not married. And as a pastor, that I care about it. I'm not a matchmaker. Pastor Steve is. So after this meeting, go have a talk with him, okay? Or do it a little bit later, okay? I have to say, the ladies that I know and I see in this church are amazing. And I don't know how to encourage you except to say, we can't make it our primary thing. We have to, there's the obvious things, and then there are those things that are not obvious to us that we cannot figure out. I don't know how the whole thing works in many ways in this thing called life, but we know that we are called to Him. Come unto me. And then He said, learn of me. And that is what you and I are doing. We are here every night just about learning of Him. We are here in decades past. We are here. We are thankful for what we get. And then we are able to move and act and live on the basis of what we believe. And we just know that life is not always so obvious to us, but He's mysteriously, miraculously, wonderfully, in ordinary, everyday living. That was what we said today. Ordinary life is a marvel. Every day when we enjoy a cup of coffee, what a gift. Getting up in the morning, a gift. Moving around, what a gift. Having a friend, what a gift. Saying a prayer, beautiful. Ordinary life in the will of God and having some sense in our heart that His yoke is easy. It is the real yoke, the real one. Now, my yoke is hard. Not the yoke over here with the institution here and the smart people and the successful and the strong people, but another yoke, God's yoke for us. Another kind of yoke. It's not obvious. It's spiritual. It's not by sight. It's something by faith. It's the yoke of God. This is what happens. Look at the verse. It says in verse 29, take my yoke upon you and learn of me. Learn by the Spirit. Learn. Don't put me in a box. Learn of me. Worship me. Love me. Be Spirit-filled. I will show you. Learn of me. I'll show you. I'll open it to you. I'll help you. I'll encourage you. I am very meek. I'm not the big, tough guy. I'm the meek servant waiting on you, serving you. I like that picture of the English butler, you know. I don't know that. You know it as well as I do in general. The butler's there. There's the dining table, and the family is there, and the butler's just waiting. He's quiet, makes himself invisible in a way. But if he's needed, then he's just there, you know, right away. But otherwise, he isn't doing anything, but his focus is there. He isn't doing anything, but his focus is there. We that wait upon the Lord, that means, Lord, whatever it is that you're doing, I'm part of it. I'm in it. I'm not doing anything right now except giving you my attention. I am available because I know your yoke is the best one. And it says, it is easy. That word means, it means, it fits. It's like the contour of your shoulders and around you. It fits. It's like a good fit. The yoke of God is a good. The yoke of that which is not so obvious to me, but I step into it in the person of Christ. He makes known to us his ways of grace. He reveals to us how he fills us with the Spirit and shows us his way. And this is kind of comfortable to us. Years later, you just say, you know what? This is what I'm looking for. I have found it. I have found it. I have found Jesus Christ. I have found it. I found him. I have found the way, the truth, and the life. I found the thing that fits for me. Because I am a little bit strange in one sense. We all are, by the way. Don't just sit there and go, you are, you're weird. No, I mean, we all are. Okay, turn to your neighbor and say that. No, forget it. No, you enjoy it. Go ahead. No, really, hey, wait a minute. Wait a minute. Who's got it all down? Who's got it all figured out? Nobody. So let's finish up. It says, verse 29, take my yoke upon you. Learn of me. I am meek and lowly. You shall find rest for your souls. I love it. I got to say, when I was in the ministry with Dr. Stevens, he just never made me feel guilty. He just never blamed me for anything. He just didn't do it. It was amazing. You know, I forgot the key. That's all right, God's will. God, don't worry about it. I forgot my shoes. Don't even think about it. And don't we don't need shoes anyway. We got your heart. Praise God. Okay? Right? I can't talk. Thank God you can't talk. We're in good shape. Don't even think about it. God is here. The chairs are empty. Yeah. God is here. Don't worry about the empty chairs. God is here. Isn't that beautiful? It means the yoke, when you have the yoke and it is easy, it fits and it is easy, then you're going to help others find him. And there, that's it. Okay? Then my yoke is easy, my burden is light. Would you pray with me right now? We're finishing. Thank you, Jesus. Just say in your heart, Jesus, I never will outgrow you. I will never stop seeking you. I'll never stop going by faith toward you. I need you, Lord, to be honest sometimes. I package it all and I put you on the outside. And I say, I already know. But no. It's not obvious to me, and I need you personally. Fill me, guide me, lead me, in Jesus' name. If you're on the internet listening, or you're here with us tonight, and you've not yet accepted Christ, believed in him in your heart, do it now. Do it now, please, and tell somebody about it. Do it now. This is an invitation for you. Do it now and tell somebody about it in Christ's name. Amen.